Hello, and welcome to the She Flourishes podcast, a weekly soul-stirring conversation that lifts you out of the funk and into the flourishing life so you can live life as the best version of you. I'm your host, Brenda Jasmine. For the past 11 years, I've been coaching women and leading personal development workshops as a speaker and mindset coach. She Flourishes is an extension of those workshops and conversations and is designed to help you create the flourishing life that you were meant to live. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the She Flourishes podcast. I am super excited to introduce you to my guest today because she is a fellow podcaster. And not only is she a fellow podcaster, but we actually live in the same city. And I have to say, it's pretty rare. I have not met many fellow podcasters, let alone fellow podcasters that live in the same city as me, just outside of Toronto here. So I am super excited to introduce you to Linda Orsini. Linda is a speaker, an educator, an author, and an advocate for personal health and wellness. Linda is a certified Reiki master, a sound healer, a meditation guide, a yoga teacher, and she has taken her 30 years experience as a school teacher and all of these different modalities she's certified in, and she has applied those to her holistic approach of being a founder of Global Wellness Education. She is also, as I said, a podcaster, and she hosts the inspiring podcast called A Call for Love. Linda is passionate about helping women transform their relationships with their thoughts and emotions. And through a combination of her mindset work, movement practices, and meditation techniques, she guides women to heal them from the fear that keeps them small and to awaken their highest selves in her program called Emotional Freedom. Linda's mission is to empower you to discover your personal power, purpose, and passion, enabling you to fill a life filled with more joy, love, and abundance. Well, that sounds like flourishing to me. So I think you're in the right place here, Linda, on the She Flourishes podcast. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Brenda. I'm so excited to be here. It feels really good and it feels so aligned.
Yes, it does. It does. And Linda, I don't think we've met in person, but we've talked on the phone and we've kind of known of each other and share, you know, some mutual contacts and I think run in similar circles, but I'm not sure we've actually met in person before.
Well, when I see you on social media, I see you with the peeps that I know, which is so interesting. Yes. So yes. It's time.
It is time. And you had also done a live podcast event. So we both did live podcast anniversary events, and that's how we got recently connected. And I am just really wanting to hear more about not only your podcast, but the work that you do in the world, because I know from us being in the same community that the work you do is very powerful. People that have taken your program have really, really benefited. So first of all, though, I'm just curious, like, so you've been running your podcast for a year now?
I started just after you. So I'm okay. On episode, I have 60 episodes and 8 free bonus meditations. So about 68. Yeah.
68. Okay. So I would love to hear, first of all, what made you decide to start a podcast? And just really even to understand what a call for love means so our listeners really understand, you know, what your podcast is about. But just can you just share a little bit of that journey? Because I just think it's so fascinating to hear what inspires people to start their podcast.
I am so grateful you asked because I really find inspiration from how I started the podcast. Because I feel like we all want abundance. You know, we all want to do well. We all want to thrive. We want to find our purpose, be of service. And I was lying in bed one morning. That's when most of my inspirations happen, actually, in the morning. And I was like, you know, praying to the universe. And I thought, you know, the universe is thinking, yeah, okay, but what are you going to do about it? And I thought, you know, I have to prove myself. And the only way I'm going to do it is to put myself out on a limb. And so I created a mantra, which is fuck fear, show up and shine.
Because, I love it.
Because I thought if I'm asking the universe for me to step into, you know, my purpose, what am I going to do about it? So I decided that I was going to put myself out on a limb, as I said, really be authentic and show up every week dedicated. And the moment I decided that, I have never missed a week of my podcast, never missed a newsletter, and it helped me create a direction. It helped me really find my voice, actually. I thought I was doing it for others to offer it to the world. And then as it progressed and unfolded, I realized it was helping me find my voice, find my purpose. And ever since I made that clear intention, I feel like there's been this red carpet rolled out right in front of me where things are just rolling because, you know, I'm consistently showing up and doing the best that I can. Is it perfect? No, but it is the best that I can do.
Beautiful. Yes, it's so true, right? When we really step into something, whatever it is, like we're maybe called to do something where we get that little voice, that intuition, that nudge to start something. And I love this, fuck fear and show up and shine. I love it. And if you, for those of you listening, you won't be able to see Linda, but her colors, her brand color is yellow. So talk, and you do shine. You really do shine, Linda. And I just think I'm really taking this to heart. This I really need to hear that little mantra of yours today. So thank you for that. And today we are going to be talking. I would like to talk more about that. How we can fuck fear and show up and shine. I think I'm going to lose my clean rating on my podcast today. I don't think we've dropped any F-bombs on the show before, so thank you for that. But what we said we were going to talk about today before we hopped on here is really to talk about, like, how do we find our peace in the world, right? How do we, in a world that maybe doesn't always feel so peaceful, how do we find our peace and protect our peace? And I think this whole idea, though, of just even, you know, deciding to show up and shine and be ourselves and be authentic, that, you know, can be a way, I would imagine, that would help us. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think peace is there. It's just that it gets covered. You know, it's like Michelangelo, he chipped away the marble until he found the angel within. And I think that we get distracted. And going back to the beginning, when you had asked me really what a call for love is, I'd like to actually connect it with one of your episodes, Toxic Positivity. Because what my message is and what I have come to know to be true for myself is that we have a whole range of emotions. And I am a student of A Course in Miracles, and they say there's two main emotions. There's love and there's fear. Now, fear, people will say, oh, well, I'm not fearful. But if you have a worry, that becomes a bigger worry and lots of worries, then it becomes under the umbrella of fear. And it also, under the umbrella of fear, you have anger, jealousy, sadness, depression. And we don't want to cover it up, like spiritually bypass and shove those things down. We want to be authentic and true. And so a call for love is knowing where you stand. Are you in a place of love, which is light and your highest self, and purity of just loving kindness? Or are you on the other side? Are you in the lower vibrations of fear, stress, anxiety, drama, all those things? And so it's just noticing where you're standing and saying, oh, I'm not in a loving space, so there is a call for love. And I will shift there, not when everyone tells me to shift, but when I'm ready. And so then the goal is to, when you have processed it, when you have felt it, and through mindfulness, self-compassion is my really go-to, and meditation, when you can hold space for that, then you can shift. You can shift into the higher vibration of love, which is the highest vibration.
Okay, so if I understand what you're saying correctly, so a call for love is when you notice you're not in a loving place and you're feeling the fear, the anxiety, the anger, the worry, whatever, however that shows up, then that's a call to you, like a message, a call from the universe. Hello, it's a call. For love, that it's saying you need love. Is that, am I understanding that correctly, Linda?
Yes. So it's not just love outwards, it's even self-love. It's love. So I had an interview with my colleague, Monica, and we had said that love is actually spirit, right? Love is the highest source. So when you are not feeling your best, it's okay. It's okay to not feel your best, but at least know that you're not feeling your best. Offer yourself some loving kindness. Do things that help nurture your heart or those emotions. And then say, when I'm ready, when I'm able, I'm going to shift. It's a call for love. It's a call to, you know, move through it, possibly let go or heal it, whatever that may look like to you, because there are many paths to liberation. And then to step into that really beautiful vibration of loving yourself, the planet, the animals, others, everyone, which is in a state of peace, loving kindness.
This is so good. I know in positive psychology, they talk about different emotions and they ask people, like, how much would they spend? I don't know if you've heard of this study, how much you would spend to experience different emotions. And the emotion that people would pay the most to feel is love. Like that, they say, and Barbara Fredrickson, who talks about emotions, says, like, love is like the superior emotion. It's like you said, it's the top emotion, the one that we all really want. So I love this. What you're saying is, you know, it's a call to move through it, to move through the fear, to heal yourself. And you're saying there's lots of different ways to do that. And that when we feel this self-love, we can feel more peace. I guess my question, like, is we always try and bring it to the practical, but first of all, I guess it would be, how do you notice that, like, what might it look like, for someone to realize that they're in a place where love is calling, or they're being asked, like, it would be helpful for them to start moving through. How would you notice it? That's the first part of my question. And then I guess the second thing is, like, once you notice it, you said there are all these different modalities. But what are some ways that maybe we can do something about it? But let's just start with, how do you know when maybe you maybe need to move through some of those emotions to get to that place of feeling more love?
It's a great question, Brenda. And the thing is that we are spiritual beings living this human experience. And I know many, many people, and I have a really great life. I feel a lot of abundance, a lot of blessings. But being part of this human experience, there's always going to be something. There's always, like, the tale of two cities. It was the best of the times. It was the worst of times. We have so much greatness in our life, especially I feel very privileged where we live. There's peace and abundance. But there's always one thing. It could be one thing within you or a relationship. It does not have to be 100 things. And it's one thing that's kind of like that trigger, that pressing point, that's like really showing what's up inside you. And I believe that we are really oblivious to it most of the time. You know, we avoid it. If it's a person or a situation or a feeling, we avoid it. We avoid it, push it away, cover it up, shop over it, drink over it, eat over it, whatever. And how we notice, which is my truest passion, is through stillness. I am a meditation guide, and my mission is to welcome you home to yourself, right? Mm. It's befriending yourself. And we are the hardest critics on ourselves. And She Flourishes, I know, is dedicated to women who are the most critical, from what I've seen, that inner critic. And so it's not about forgetting who we are. It's about befriending who we are. And that takes courage. It takes courage to sit in silence and kind of open the Pandora's box to see what's inside. And that's why I love to guide meditation in a group, because in Sangha, in community, we come together supporting each other to hold space for all our emotions. Because when you create the intention and attention and awareness, then, you know, it becomes like right there on the platter, and you realize you're not really going to die from jealousy. You're not really going to die from, you know, disappointment. These are just emotions and feelings, but they are not who you really are. And so the first thing is we have to notice them. And that takes courage. It takes stillness and it takes silence. It takes listening to the inner stirrings of your heart and soul. And so I believe through meditation, that kind of opens the door. And then you want to invite self-compassion.
Yes. It's so, there's a lot to unpack there. And it's so interesting. I was just thinking this morning, it's funny you say that about like, there's always something. I was just thinking that this morning. I was thinking, no matter what's going on in our lives, like there's always something, right? There's always like, I don't know about you, Linda. I haven't had many days, I don't think, in my life where I wake up in the morning and I think, wow, like I have nothing that I'm worrying about. Maybe before I had kids, I had less. I don't know. But and maybe that's something I need to work on, but no, like there's always something, right? Like there's always a little niggly, like, oh, I'm thinking about, you know, we have a family member who hasn't been well. And like, you know, that kind of pops into my mind. Like, oh, like, so I don't know. Like there's very few times in life when I think we can look around and say, in our own life and everybody we love, that everything is hunky-dory. As we say, everything's perfect, right? There's always something, a little niggly, something that kind of, you know, muddies the water a little bit. And so I think part of that is accepting, right? That's life. Like life is going to, and there's definitely times we're dealing with bigger curveballs and more of a crisis situation. But then there are those days when, you know, it's okay, but there's still maybe a little something. Do you think that's kind of fair to say?
Absolutely. Our ego is looking for something to worry about or to what it thinks to protect us from. I think we're programmed, honestly, like that.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Looking for threats, like the negativity bias, right? Yeah. You're in our ego. And yeah, what is it that we need to kind of, and our brain wants to grab onto something. So I guess if we accept that, you know, there are going to be things, but you're saying too, sometimes there's things going on and it's not that we're even aware and thinking, oh, that thing's bothering me. What you're saying is, actually, we're busy, we're maybe eating or drinking or avoiding, numbing out, because we don't want to look at these things or these emotions. And if I understand what you're saying like one of the tools that you think is the most powerful is when you're meditating, because that gets us sitting in that stillness when we really can see what what's maybe bothering us or what emotions are coming up?
It's true that I have a program that I've created called Emotional Freedom. And what it is that we often blame other people, right? He said this, she did that. They, you know, this organization did this. The world is doing this, you know, the economy. And we're always projecting outwards. And what happens is that when you create deeper awareness, it's a chance to raise your consciousness in order to realize that the world is a mirror to us. And so it takes examination. It takes really turning inward. And the power of our mind, as I'm trained in hypnotherapy, is just huge. It's just huge. And so, yeah, we want to notice those things. And instead of projecting outwards, notice, and that's what I say in the course, find your personal power. Because if you are saying to somebody, you did this happened, you are giving away your power to the other person or to the circumstance. But when you say, oh, you know what? I can change my perspective. I can change my mindset. I can change my actions. You become empowered and you're not waiting for other people. If I had to wait for some people, that would not be a good thing. But when I know that I have the power to change my reactions and my thoughts, then I'm more empowered.
I think those of you listening will really be nodding your head right now. And I think we're all guilty of that, right? Where we blame others or, oh, if only this person would do this, or if only that thing happened, then, you know, I would be happy, or, you know, everything would be okay. And yet, you know, it's more uncomfortable to say I'm responsible, or, you know, or I need to take responsibility. I can't wait around, right, for someone else to do it for me. I need to do it myself, and I need to take responsibility for my own emotions. I think that's really, really powerful, but that's uncomfortable too, because we don't always want to, right? Like, it's much easier and faster, don't you find, to just blame everybody else?
It is faster. It doesn't involve anything, but it is certainly faster. Yeah.
not easier in the long run. Definitely. So, and this program of yours, I want to hear more about it afterwards. Although I just think maybe we can talk more about that. Before we hopped on to, you and I were talking a bit about how, so we live in this world, and, you know, definitely in the last number of years, you know, we were saying, you know, there's always something in our personal lives. There's always something in the world, right? Like, same thing, right? Do you ever look at the newspaper and it's like, oh, it's just all good news today? No, right? The newspapers would go out of business, the media, right? It's always like, what's wrong? Pay attention to this. Look at all these things that are wrong in the world. And that's not, you know, we think it's like right now, like, oh, elections and the economy and the climate and post-pandemic, all of that. But even before that, we always had things that we were concerned about in the world. And so we're concerned about our own lives. We're concerned about what's going on in the world. And so if we want to live in this place of love, in this place of peace, it can sound a little bit Pollyanna. And yet it's so important, because we can just throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, the world is, you know, going to hell in a handbasket, right? And what can I do about it in my little corner of the world? And then we worry about all the things that are going on. And then we just kind of walk around with this worry or this anxiety without doing anything about it. And what you are inviting people to do is to say, actually, no, like, you can definitely, we're concerned about all that, but you can do some things within. You can do, you know, you can, it can be a call for love, and there are things that you can do. So what would you recommend? Because I was going to say for those of us, but I think all of us are in that situation where we're concerned about the world right now. How can we find peace in all of that? And so I know you talked about meditation, and do you want to just say more about maybe the mindset too around and what we can do so we don't just end up feeling terrible about what's going on in the world?
Okay, so let's take an example. You know, I heard somewhere there's about 30 wars going on at this time. 30 wars. And you say, I'm a really peaceful person. You know, I take care of my body. I take care of my family. I'm a law-abiding citizen. But you know what? I won't talk to that person, this one person. And so what I'm saying is that that's an act of violence, actually. When you have cut somebody off or you're not talking to them, it's not in terms of violence, aggression, but it's a low vibration. When you are saying, why is somebody else fighting? But then I'm having fighting in my heart with that one person. You could have 1,000 people in your life, but there could be that one person. And if you really took a look at it, how you were ignoring or you blocked them, or, you know, you try to avoid them, or you are thinking terrible, not so nice things about them, or even in your words, then really you're doing the same thing on a much smaller scale. So if you want to see peace in the world, it has to begin with you in any small way. And as we had talked about this before we started recording, Eckhart Tolle, you want to raise your consciousness. So the more you raise that vibration, the more you raise that so that there's not just that one person, but where you can, I wouldn't say, my mom always used to say, you don't have to like everybody, but you need to love them because they're a human being. And so I kind of think of that. I don't have to necessarily want to go out with tea with everybody, but I don't want to have to wish them ill will. And okay. So it becomes, that's where it starts with us. It starts really noticing in our lives. And, you know, be the example, you know, as a school teacher for over 30 years, don't do as I say, do as I do, right? What actions are we leading? We are, you know, showing our children, showing our friends. We're living by example. In fact, in A Course in Miracles, you're really not supposed to teach it. You're supposed to live it. And then people come to you and say, oh, what are you doing where you look like joy, like love? Like, what are you doing that gets you there? And so you want to live from that essence. And, you know, it's funny because one vibration attracts another. And so when you start doing that work, the people around you come out of the woodwork too. I look around at me, I can't believe how many beautiful people I have in my life. Like, it's astounding. And I'm meeting them more every day. And I'm so grateful. And I feel so blessed. But we're all doing the work. And so the higher you go, for instance, if you're dating, you know, and you're in the slums, you know, what are you going to attract, right? So the higher, the more you work on yourself, the more you're attracting.
I think that's how I attracted you into my life, I think, and how we got connected, right? I think it's that being a person out there in the world who's doing this work. And I think that is so important to think about. And actually, before this morning, I was just taking a course, and that was, now it was more of a business course, but interesting, they were saying something very similar. They were saying, you know, if you want to attract, let's say, clients that are action takers, like, you need to be an action taker. Or if you want to, so whatever you want to be attracting, you need to be emulating that. You need to be. So I love that how you said, you know, you're peaceful, you're showing up with joy. And then you're attracting people who are like that, or who want that and are willing to make the commitment to that work. I think that's so great. And thank you. I want to go back to what you said, because I did have a little bit of a when you said, oh, we have to, like, you know, it's an act of, that felt harsh to me, like it's an act of violence, like, because we all have that one person, right? Or maybe
I know, I
one.
saw your face and I was like, it is shocking, but it's, you know, it could be a strong word, but basically that's what you're saying here. And I'm saying too, there's that one person, and there's always going to be one thing, one circumstance, one experience, one person somewhere in our life that is just pushing our buttons.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you said, I had that little reaction like, but then what helped me was when you said, you know, it's not that, because there's sometimes we have boundaries and, you know, I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea and everyone's not going to be my cup of tea, right? Like, we don't have to be friends with everyone. And there might be people that you feel like they're just not your person, or there's something that's happened in the past and we need to have healthy boundaries. And so I love what you're saying. It's like, well, it doesn't mean we have to go out for tea with them. And we can still wish them well and send them love and not wish them ill will. So I think I'm glad you made that distinction, Linda, because I think there will be, you know, people listening, if you're listening and you're thinking, I'm not, you know, I still, you know, have that person, but I love this concept of, it doesn't mean, you know, you can still be loving. You don't have to hang out with them.
Oh no. You know, we're not going to connect with everybody. But what is your inner dialogue saying about that person? Are you really sending them vile thoughts and comments? Or are you just saying, you know, I'm going to maintain my boundary because I have certain standards and that's fine. But I do. I wish you well. You know, you don't have to be in my life. But there's a difference. You could call it a fine line. But really, if you wrote out what was going on in your mind on a piece of paper and showed it to somebody, would you want that person to read it? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's because we can think very strongly and negatively about experiences or people.
Mm-hmm. And that is not going to help us to find peace. We need to, we need to accept and move on. Okay, so you talked about this, about meditation being a really powerful tool and that idea of stillness. And then you see the different emotions that you have and then needing to have the courage, I guess, to look at those. And yet, I don't know, like, I do find that, you know, some people love meditation and they're, you know, it's great. And I just heard some people, where was I? I just heard someone the other day saying, and this is why I can't meditate, because I have too many things going on in my mind. And it doesn't work for me. I heard someone say that just yesterday. So what would you say to that person?
Well, who's running the show? Mm. Who's running the show? Because our mind is a muscle. And our mind, if we wrote down or recorded everything that our mind is saying, it's like never ending. And the thing is that the dangerous part of that is we believe everything we think. And that's very dangerous. Just because you think it doesn't mean that it's true. And so for people who meditation, you can't go from 100 to zero. Like, you can't. It's too much. If you have anxiety, if you have panic attacks, I do not suggest meditating. I suggest running, going for a walk in nature, possibly attending a yoga class, and gradually moving to that stillness. Or in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or if you wake up, maybe doing a little mindfulness practice to help you fall asleep. But I do not suggest meditation for people who their mind is just running too rampant. But if your mind is so fast and so furious, then it's just something to notice that who's running the show.
Okay. Thank you for that. So for people that are feeling that way, and so, yeah, it's almost like meditation's too big of a leap. It's like that's maybe further down the road. So start with some of these other techniques, and then you move into meditation.
Absolutely. You know, solitary confinement in a prison, the hardest thing is to be alone with yourself. It's no picnic. So you want to really go slow. And I guide meditation all the time. And I say the only bad meditation is the one you never did. And even if you created one sliver, 1 second of white space, I call it a meditation halo. You know, that little space that you created has like a psychological effect as you move on through your day. You're not so reactive. And that's the thing with meditation is, and I saw it with my students too. We're really reactive. And when you learn the skill of stepping back, you can be more responsive. It gives you more control over your life.
And that's what we need, right? Like going back to what you were saying, like if we're, you know, having negative thoughts or negative emotions about other people, we're adding to the problems in the world. We're adding to, you know, the lack of peace. Whereas if we are able to, you know, tap into something like mindfulness, something like meditation, and feeling more of that peace, then that's going to help us and help the world in turn.
Yeah, we need to embody. We need to be the change we seek in the world. If we want to find, if we want the world to be peaceful, respectful, you know, kind and loving, it first begins with ourselves. How can we expect others when, you know, there could be one, even if it's a small area, but I would think that there's always one area where, you know, you can really work through that in order to be the change you seek in the world, you know, instead of casting stones.
Be the change you seek in the world. And that's the famous Gandhi quote. I love that. And I think that's such a good answer to so many things. And yeah, when we do look around, so for when you're feeling like, you know, the world is falling apart, or your own world, or, you know, even your community, to be that change. And I think that's really beautiful. And it can just be so small, right? It can be like just in our community, like who are we being? How are we showing up? And I just think that it gives us something to do instead of, I just don't think it's healthy, right? To look around and just feel terrible all the time when we see what's going on in the world.
Absolutely. And it could start very small, you know, somebody taking your parking spot, you know, what's going through your mind. We can start really small, but if you start to notice all those thoughts, and that's what stillness does, or mindfulness or meditation, if you notice it, then as I said, you might be in that place, but it's a call for love. It doesn't mean you're going to say, oh, I love that person right away, but or I love that circumstance right away, because as you said, it's not true. It's not true to who we are. But if you can say, you know, this is how I'm feeling right now, and I'm just going to be with that right now. But, you know, eventually I want to, you know, just feel that peace inside, send that loving message out to that person and say, you know, for instance, this is very silly, but it's a little example. I had this beautiful Manduka yoga mat. I bought it. It was nice purple. It had little sparkles in it. It was like so pretty. And I loved it at the front in my old studio. And I came back and it was gone. And there was this brown, flat, really matte left. Now, I don't know if it was an accident or whatever. But, you know, I still think of that. And I think, I hope that mat is bringing that person joy. Like, if it's not bringing me joy, I hope it brings them joy.
Sorry, it's just too funny. It's like the yoga mat gets taken from the yoga instructor and she flips out, right?
Yeah,
no,
I did.
It's like, it's like a test, right?
It's like, it is a test.
How peaceful are you?
Yeah, prove it. It's proof. Yeah,
prove it.
Prove it. Yeah, you're taking my one one artifact that I need to practice. Yeah. So funny.
Oh, it is. It is. And yet, yeah, you're right. And then just to be able to twist it. And it doesn't mean, yeah, you're not going to have that initial emotion of like, oh, my mat, right? Or being upset or being disappointed. But then being able to like move through it and then get to that place of, well, I hope whoever has it is, you know, really enjoying, really enjoying it.
Now that I remember it means that it's still in me, right? It's noticing it, but that's okay because, you know, my initial react, this is the thing, reaction versus response. My reaction is, oh, I missed that yoga mat. And then when I come into my higher self, I'm like, you know, it's a thing. And I hope it brings them joy because I still have a yoga mat that I can practice on. But, you know, it wasn't the sparkly, beautiful purple one.
Yeah. I think you need to invest in another one. And maybe, I was just thinking, you put a lock on it. I don't think there's a way to do that. But
trust me, I have a couple yoga mats. So I have to do
You're that. Good.
But mine not. My nice purple, sparkly one, no.
And I think this is just a perfect example, too, how, like you talked about, you mentioned the toxic positivity or the spiritual bypassing, right? Like if you just jumped straight to, oh, that's okay. Like, I'm sure someone else is enjoying it. Like, you know, we're human and you're going to have those initial emotions of disappointment or whatever those emotions are, but then being able to move through them and get to out to that other place.
Exactly. And that's, I love how you say that, Brenda, because I always say this too. It's a moving through. That's why a call for love is a progression. It's not a jump. Right? It's so unfair to think that we're going to jump. But can we have as smooth as possible transition? And that's where peace is. Peace is not the absence of chaos. Peace is finding peace in the chaos.
Ooh, say that again. You said peace is not the absence of chaos.
Yes, yes. It's finding peace in the chaos.
Finding peace in the chaos. That is so good. That is so good. So it's not, again, kind of going back to that whole like waiting for to wake up in the morning and, oh, today's the day my life is finally peaceful. That's
Let
not going to happen.
Yeah.
So not the absence of chaos, but it's finding peace within the chaos.
And you know what I say? I say to my clients is that, you know how a baby sleeps in the subway or at a fair or in a noisy situation? That's what we want to be. Well, that's my goal, is to be in the tornado, but to be grounded. You know, not to be spinning, not to be triggered, not to be like reactive. It's okay. There's going to be tornadoes. There are going to be storms. Can we stay grounded in who we are? Who we are is whole, is complete, is love. When you look at that little baby that's born, they are the purest essence of love. And that's coming back to who we truly are.
That is so, so beautiful. And, you know, we've had a couple of family, you know, some things going on with, you know, just this past year, two different family members and hospital visits and things like that. And it came to me recently because of this, I thought, you know, being a woman, you know, we have so many people that count on us and we care for so many people. And it made me think, you know, knowing kind of the year we've had, it's made me think like, I want to be, you know, we talk about on the She Flourishes podcast, you know, showing up in the world the way you want to, and as the best version of you. And it dawned on me that I want to be, when life throws these things my way, I do want to be that calm in the eye of the storm. Like I don't want to be adding to it. So if there's a crisis, I'm not the person like the chicken with my head cut off. Like I actually want to be the woman, the mother, the, you know, daughter-in-law, sister, aunt, whoever, I want to be that person who is grounded and is the person that others can count on, and that I'm there for myself too, like being that peace. And so thank you for that. Thank you for that, because that is something that it really has come to me this year, that like we can't be adding, you know, even in our own families, and then talking about how we're talking about the world, but even in our own families. And we're, you know, I know for me and my listeners, we're at that age where life is throwing maybe some bigger curveballs than normal with, you know, health crises and different things like that. And really being able to be that person that others can count on, and that you're there for yourself too, right? That you're able to cope in those difficult situations. So thank you for that. That's really, really helpful and a good reminder. So Linda, I could talk to you, like, I feel like our time has just flown by here. And the last question I always ask my guests, and then we'll talk about how people can connect with you. But the last question I always ask is, what's one thing you most recommend that women can do to flourish in their lives?
Be kind to themselves. I am an advocate for mindfulness, self-compassion, just self-compassion. I guide courses in it, and it's in my program. But people think being kind to themselves is like being selfish. And what self-compassion does, it opens the door to greater empathy for others. And self-compassion has three components. It's being mindful of what you're doing and saying to yourself. And it's loving kindness to yourself, you know, maybe taking a break, maybe going for a walk, maybe calling a friend, maybe doing something kind for yourself. And then knowing it's part of humanity. Mm-hmm. We're not alone. We're all going through this together. And so, you know, she flourishes is such a beautiful statement of rising, of elevating oneself. And I believe that through self-compassion, we can honor the light and the shadow, mm-hmm. and know that the truth holds both ends. And when we are self-compassionate to our shadows, that creates empathy for others, and we become a greater source of groundedness, stability, love, loving kindness, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone says love is kind of like woo-woo, but it is the ultimate. It is the ultimate to be embraced in a blanket of loving kindness from others.
So true. And thank you, Linda, for being out in the world and shining your light and letting your voice be heard, because in this world, we need more people like you. So I'm so glad you listened and started your podcast. And I'm so glad you said yes when I asked you to be on the show. So thank you for that. And for people that want to connect with you and hear more about your emotional freedom course, how can they connect with you?
Well, they can log on to my website, Global Wellness Education. It's long, but it's true. I'm global. I'm all about education and wellness. So it's globalwellnesseducation.com, and the podcast is A Call for Love.
Wonderful. So while you're listening, as soon as you're done listening to this, go on to A Call for Love podcast and follow Linda's podcast, because if you like She Flourishes, you're going to like A Call for Love as well. I know you will. So please do that. And thank you so much, Linda, for being on the show. I look forward to listening to more episodes of your podcast. And thank you so much for all that you do in the world. Thanks for listening to the She Flourishes podcast. I hope this episode has inspired you to keep on creating the flourishing life you deserve. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend who would benefit from it. And remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening. To learn more about how you can live a flourishing life, head over to brendajasmine.com or follow me on Instagram at _brendajasmine. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, keep on sharing your gifts with the world. See you soon.